Lord, in this time when hell is full of fury and sin traps me, then keep me under the blood. Let me be a light in the world. I pray for a new experience with you. Lord, only through you I will be a victor. And give me your power. Reveal yourself to me anew. Wrap me in your grace. Lord, you saw how unfaithful I too sometimes was. Deeply ashamed before you I now stand. Lord, I surrender my life anew to you. All my failures I see. I pray for a new experience with you. Lord, only through you I will be a victor. And give me your power. Reveal yourself to me anew. Wrap me in your grace. Lead me back to the first love, O Lord. Give me a broken heart. Tear my mind from all earthly. Lead me on the way heavenward. I pray for a new experience with you. Lord, only through you I will be a victor. And give me your power. Reveal yourself to me anew. Veil me in your grace. Heavenly Father, we have not only sung, our hearts were beating, for we know you have a new experience for us. You want to draw near to us when we draw nigh to you. You want to be found when we are looking for you. You have already touched our hearts, O God. We committed to you this afternoon service, and we pray that your victory may be manifested as it took place on Calvary. Perfect, that all enemy powers are defeated, and you go forth as the victor from this meeting and have the triumph. We want to pave the way for you through our faith, which you worked in our hearts. Let it become light in this room, and may your glory be manifested for the praise and glory of your name. Take care of it, O Lord, that the captives are set free and those who are possessed are delivered, and that all are blessed from the riches of your grace. You we want to praise and glorify. In Jesus' name, Amen. We always quickly get to the heart of the matter in this place, which is the Word and what God wants to give us. We have all realized that we have nothing to bring. We say, Lord, everything is you. And if he does not speak, and if he does not bless, then all our speaking is in vain, and all our doing is in vain. It is on my heart that God comes to his right this afternoon, that we have not only heard what he wants to do, but that we experience that he has done it. The gospel is not just an offer. The gospel also contains within itself what God has promised. He not only promises salvation, he gives it. He does not only promise healing, he has given it. He doesn't just promise deliverance, he has given it to us. And we don't let God this afternoon, all of you, prepare for this. Yes, Brother Valk, we don't let God go this afternoon, unless he has revealed himself to us. There are enough people who have come to have a new experience with God. And we all persevere in faith and don't let God go until he has blessed. Only one thing is necessary, that we cry out to him. You most surely have heard the dear brother this morning when the cry of his soul was manifested, and perhaps the one or the other may have looked around. This is the time for us to look up. When people are so gripped by the Spirit of God that they forget themselves and let the cry of desperation go up to God, when you read from revival times, then that has always been the case. There have been meetings where people have cried out for forgiveness of their sin, that you could hear it, who knows how far. And the Spirit of God is at work, no matter in what way. In any case, we want God to come to his right today. Nothing must stand in the way and be a hindrance to the Spirit of God. We have all submitted and humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God. There is no way around it. We will achieve nothing with superficiality. Judgment begins at the house of God with deep and heartfelt repentance. There is no way around it. And we heard it clearly today in the sermon of Brother Branham, where the place to meet God is, namely under the blood of the Lamb, not in discussions, not in any knowledge, at the feet of Jesus Christ, at the cross of Calvary. There we forget ourselves and everything we think to be or are, because we are nothing at all. And what we have become, we are by grace. And we praise only the Lord who has taken care of us. I would like to give Brother Rus the opportunity to speak to us today. I have exhausted myself this morning. You know, a translation is quite exhausting. A sister came to me. I don't know exactly, but I think she's from Northheim. And she says, a brother came to her and said, Brother Frank doesn't translate everything, and so forth. But I translate everything, he says. That may be the case. I'm not a perfect translator. But I can say that, and many can say that, who speak both languages, that we translate as good as we can, as best we can. I think that we not always stick to the letter, but the Spirit comes to his right, and what God wants to say to us is expressed genuinely and well. There are expressions in some languages, when you translate them literally, it's an absurdity, you can't do that at all. But we don't dwell on that at all. That is up to everyone. For me, God's revealed word is food. And he who is hungry does not dig around in a food. He does not discuss about it. He sits down and eats. Everyone else is not hungry at all yet. But God has promised to send a hunger among his people, and he has well kept the food so that it can be distributed. We have some brothers here. We would like to give them a chance to speak. But as I said, this afternoon we want to pray for many. We want to pray for all who have any kind of request, no matter what kind. Then we sense among the young people that they want to consecrate themselves to God in order to be able to stand against the things of life that happen to them. We want to pray with them. And then there are some who need deliverance, and the prayer requests are quite different. We want God to come to his right with everyone today. We heard the sermon this morning, and for me, it was one of the most powerful sermons we have heard from Brother Branham. At the beginning, I thought today is Pentecost. Where is Golgotha and Pentecost preached together? Have you noticed how wonderfully these two things have been connected? Without Golgotha, there is no Pentecost. Pentecost is the confirmation of the work of Golgotha, the cleansing, the redemption from sin, the new life in Jesus Christ, then the being equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. This was such a beautiful harmony, a sermon tailored for this day. Is it true or not? Anyone who has been paying attention has already noticed how finely the Spirit of God has done all of this. Let us stand up and read some scriptures. The first one from 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, from verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. A second scripture from the prophet Ezekiel. Chapter 3, from verse 12. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity, And the third scripture from Isaiah 61, from verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Up to here. Heavenly Father, we look up to you again, O God. We depend on you with every step we want to take. And we want you to come to your right this afternoon. Let everything be taken under your obedience. Let all the strongholds of the enemy be destroyed. May we prepare to put on the whole armor of God, to put on the helmet of salvation, that all that is of the enemy may be destroyed, and that your work may be built up. Give us grace and faith in this hour. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't have to add much to what we have heard this weekend. It was on my heart that we see and recognize the clear direction. I was concerned about that we understood that we are responsible at this time for what we have received from the Lord. As we laid out last night, there have been men since the days of Moses who held the priesthood. Men who from generation to generation fulfilled what God had demanded in the law, they watched over it and could refer to Moses without seeing for themselves in what kind of way God's word was fulfilled, which he spoke through Moses. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, enough of the scribes and Pharisees referred to Moses. And the Lord said, if ye had known Moses, ye would have known me also, for he spoke of me. Jesus Christ was actually the sum of every sacrifice, every commandment, everything. Jesus Christ was the center of the entire revelation of God, whether in the Old or New Testament. But there were people who outwardly exalted Moses in this case, without having the revelation of the Spirit, what God proclaimed of prophetic content through the mouth of his prophet. And we see that these people did not see the fulfillment of the word of God at the first coming of Jesus Christ, although they could refer to Moses on every Sabbath and on every occasion. We have said here that it is not enough for us to refer to the prophet of God whom the Lord sent at this time. We are grateful to God for that, but that we hide behind it and use him as a signboard, you can't do that. We need to experience God in the way the Word tells us. We had just heard from Brother Branham in such a tremendous way about the restoration of all that was lost. And in his ministry, an example has been given of what God means by restoration. And God has of course healed every kind of sickness. He has manifested victory at every turn in the ministry of Brother Branham. And it is not acceptable for us to name only one man at this time without going into what God is doing with His church now. And I will also tell you about this, the pure and clear truth. What matters today is to recognize in what a way God has been active among His people since Brother Branham went home. I don't want to be any clearer. We can look back to the year 33 and to the year 65 if we want. But if the Spirit of God is in us, then we have seen what God has done since that time. And I ask you, why did the Lord say to Brother Branham, "Don't travel anymore as an evangelist"? And when Brother Argenbright wanted to urge him to come back to Germany and to Switzerland, he said, "The angel of the Lord said to me, store up the food and do not travel as an evangelist." What was it? God knew that a time was coming. And how many times did He say it? "You will remember it when I will no longer be here, but you have it on the tapes and know what I said." So what matters at this time is to realize what God is not only saying through the prophetic ministry, but what He works by it. And I even asked Sister Branham whether she had understood what it was all about as long as Brother Branham lived. I said, "Sister, say it freely." She said, "Brother Frank, I didn't know any more than anybody else as long as Brother Branham was alive. It was only after that my eyes opened." And anyone who is honest will have to admit that. We were all happy about what God had done. But since Brother Branham went home, there has been a development that has been going on that no one can deny. After all, I've been to 49 countries, and I can make a small judgment about what God is doing at this time. It is a tremendous work, but it's not just about a referring to the prophet, but being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Scripture says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God." Where are the children of God in this time who are led by the Spirit of God, who do not start something here and there and always have their own programs before them, but who are simply in lockstep with the divine progress of what is pushing and going towards perfection? We do not claim anything for ourselves, but this I would like to say. Before we started here, and all who were part of it, who were from this city at that time, you all know in what kind of way God foretold things in advance. You have witnessed the beginning, and we see things literally fulfilled as God has spoken them, whether by revelation or in some way, as the Lord has led and guided from the beginning. We didn't just kind of jump in and say, "Here we can also participate." We would have done absolutely nothing at all if there had not been a divine commission. We would have done nothing at all. But by the grace of God, we could take part in what is happening now. And I have only one wish, that the word that was lived and revealed to us is not interpreted privately, that it is not used to defend one's own position in some way, but that God's word be lived in the context in which it belongs, so that the whole church may be built up and is adorned to meet Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, when he comes again. Brother Branham sometimes phrased his testimony a little differently. For example, when he speaks about the appearing of the angel on the 11th of June, 33, then there is the phrase that the angel or the Lord spoke from the cloud and said, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message. But there's also another statement where he says, so your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. So will this message forerun the second coming of Christ. There were people who had then said, well, when Brother Branham was taken away, they said, now there's nothing more to preach. Now we just have to wait until the Lord Jesus comes. But you have to listen carefully. And he emphasizes it and says, so your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. And this is what we believe. God's word remains with us. Even the prophets of God are taken. And this word of God does not return void, but accomplishes what it was sent to do. There were times when God's word went forth. At the time of the Reformation, a new beginning was to be made. It was the word for repentance and justification, and people experienced justification. Then came the word on sanctification. The people experienced it. Then came the word where the Holy Spirit was poured out again, and people experienced it. We have been given the final message, the message of the total restoration of all that was lost. And we, as the end-time church, must be restored into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The Word of God has been restored in its entirety. Now the Spirit of God must make this Word come alive in all of us by grace, so that we are not just spectators and hearers, but partakers, that we participate in what God is doing in this time. And Brother Branham said, from the time of Reformation, history records that it was no wonder that Martin Luther could attack the Roman Church and protest against it. It was a wonder how he could cope with all the fanaticism that accompanied that revival at that time and go straight forward to bring the message that God commissioned him to bring, just like us in this time. If there were only people who referred to the Lord and to the prophet of God in this time, if they would all walk in one direction, that would be very nice. But that cannot be. This time cannot be different from other times. On the contrary, it must become even worse than it is now, so that we learn to distinguish where God is, where the truth is, and where the Holy Spirit comes to his right. We are not here to make anyone bad. We are not interested in that at all. We only want one thing. We want to carry out the responsibility that God has given us before his face and watch over it as far as we are concerned, that we pass on his word as we have received it, without interpreting or construing it for ourselves in any way. I know there are statements of Brother Branham. When you take them out of context, they make a completely different sense. And I oppose this, that such quotations, which for my sake are taken from 300 or more sermons and are put together in a book, and whoever reads the book afterwards has a completely different context as these statements would actually give. But there are brothers, they think they have done God a great service without knowing that they have taken things out of context and given them to the people. We believe in preserving and reproducing every sermon in the way it was left to us. Of course, there are some places that need to be straightened out. Brother Branham was just a human being like us. Just to show you, I heard it recently. In America, there are people who believe he was Jesus Christ. Just to show you that he was also only human. I just listened to it a while ago. He had a patch on his right pocket and he didn't want people to see that. Then he put his right hand over it and gave his left hand to the people. And he said, "I told the people the left hand comes from the heart." And he put the right hand nicely on this patch, so that people shouldn't see it. But then the Spirit of God convicted him. The Spirit of God convicted him and said, "Listen, it doesn't work like that. I just want to tell you that he's human." I'm sure you know what I mean. Then we just translated a sermon. Dear Brother Branham says, literally, we all realized it was a slip of the tongue. He says, "The people have eaten the grass from the trees. No one ever has. You can only eat the bark from the trees." We know what he means. Afterwards, he corrects himself. But there are people who have a fanatical spirit and they say, "You see, Brother Frank translated wrong. You see, there we have it, there we have it." What do you have? You have some people who have a strange spirit, who don't know what they are doing at all, and they only want to undermine. I tell you, if I was withholding something from you, I would say it to you. Somebody here from Germany, or maybe from Europe, I have a very bad memory, maybe the sister or brother is here. This person asked me by letter last week, if it is true that Brother Branham will come back and be among us 40 days, as the Lord Jesus was with his disciples 40 days back then. Yes, such questions are among the people. I know that Brother Branham spoke about this, that the resurrection will be similar to how the resurrection was back then, when many of the saints who had fallen asleep came out of the tombs and appeared to many in the holy city. Anything can happen, but that is not a part of our proclamation. Our proclamation is God's holy word, as we find it written black on white. What else God will do, he will not ask us. He will do with great joy and bless us all. Dear, we do not need anybody who trumpets there beforehand or speaks about it. But precisely those things, and there are some of them, they are then picked out, and then it is said, "You see, Brother Frank does not tell the people about this. He hides it from them. I have not hidden anything from anyone. That serves for the preparation and completion of the Church of Jesus Christ." But things that are being argued about, that I can't read 100% from the Bible, I have to keep quiet about that until I can give an answer from the Word of God. I cannot just go around saying anything. I have to know what I'm saying, and I have to be able to back up what I'm saying here with the Scripture. I have to be able to read it out here, and then we can all rely on it. I tell you, it is a very difficult task that the Lord has given us. No one needs to fight for it and think it would be nice if I could do it. You can believe me. Often enough I've said, "Lord, take someone else. Let it go now. I have done my job. I want someone else to do something now. It's not an easy thing to do. But on the other hand, I know that thousands and thousands are behind us, that they love God and God's word and rejoice in what the Lord has done great things in this time. The prophet Isaiah prophesied with reference to Christ, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." And we heard at Pentecost, the same Holy Spirit came upon the church so that the same works of Jesus Christ might be continued through the church. Brother Branham said many times, "I can show you where the Lord commissioned the church and how He equipped her. Will you show me where He took back the commission and revoked the power?" No one can show that. So the commission that He gave is valid to all the world, to the end of the age. And that is why this afternoon we also expect the Lord to reveal Himself to us. The prophet Ezekiel was transferred among those in exile. He walked around deeply grieved, and I tell you, in the last days, I have walked around deeply grieved. I wanted to grow a beard. I was so sad. I didn't want to see or hear anything more about life. Such sadness had come over me. I could have cried where I walked and where I stood, always thinking that God wants to turn to us, that He wants to confirm His word, that He wants to reveal His power, that people come here who no longer doubt, but believe and take God at His word and experience the miracles of God on the spot. We know and have heard it often enough. The coming of the Lord is near, and the church must be prepared. And what about us? I believe the Lord Jesus can prepare all of us. I just feel that there is a heavenly atmosphere in our midst, and the victory of God must be revealed. Today there is no way around it, and the devil knows that even before the meeting has begun. Today the victory of God will be revealed here. There is no other way. How many of you have already felt the presence of God this morning? You could feel it, of course. God bless you. I just knew the Spirit of God was blowing through the ranks and touching all those who let themselves be touched. In the same way it is now, this afternoon. It doesn't always have to be a roar. Sometimes it is the gentle whisper. Important is that no one sleeps, and that everyone grasps the moment and says, "Lord, this is the moment You have given me." Who says, "Lord, I've waited long enough for this moment. Today, in this place, this afternoon, now, today, here I am experiencing with You what You promised me." We can't tell the Lord. That's how we heard it this morning. Or when was it? "Lord, now You do this and that, and bless brother so-and-so, and do with him this and that." We can't send the Lord around like a footboy. This doesn't work like that. But we can come today in full confidence and say, "Lord, have mercy on me. Let me experience Your power today." Not that we tell Him, "Do this and that." God knows what needs to be done. That you just say, "My God, here is my life. I surrender myself to You after spirit, soul, and body. Come upon me with the power of Your blood. Cleanse me. Forgive all iniquity and sin. Make all things new." This prayer would also be good for all of us who think we have been believers for 20 or more years. It is good for all of us. And that we continue to pray, "Lord, let today be Pentecost for me, my Pentecost and Your Pentecost, the infilling with the power of the Holy Spirit." But we must know what we want. Every person who came to Jesus, he knew what he wanted. He didn't make 100 words. The Lord asked the leper, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "I want to be clean." The Lord said, be clean. And he went on and dealt with the next one. The other said, I want to see. And he said, receive thy sight. And he went on. Whatever it was, the Lord asked, what do you want me to do for you? This afternoon, it is the same Lord, the same voice of our Savior. He asks you, he asks me, what do you want me to do to you this afternoon, now, today? Do you all know what you want him to do to you? Who knows it? Who wants something from the Lord today? What do you want me to do to you today? Brothers and sisters, you do not need to believe me, you only need to believe the Lord. But I'm convinced that God would like to stand by his word today. He must stand by his word. His word is eternally true. What he has promised, he certainly keeps. I often use the example so that we understand that it is not we who have to work a miracle and that it's not we who are responsible for a miracle. When the Lord said to Moses, take the rod and strike the rock and I will cause water to come forth, Moses did not need to pray and say, my God in heaven, water will now come out of the rock. How is this going to happen? Moses did not have any thoughts of his own to be then somehow entangled in unbelief. He didn't say, pardon me? He immediately took the rod and walked to the rock. Joink, the water gushed out, that he had to run away in order not to be swept away by the current. What was it? A simple and childlike obedience to the word of the Lord, and he saw the glory of God. We don't need much at all in this place today. Just this simple faith. Jesus Christ said, they will lay hands on the sick. He didn't say, they will then pray a long prayer. They will then wrestle. They will then do this and that. They will have feelings. Then nothing comes. He said, on the sick, they will lay their hands and it will get better with them. Slapdash, that goes as fast as it comes. The longer we pray, the more unbelief creeps in. But when we come in faith and say, Lord, now, the moment I'm touched, I'm healed, and I'm moving on, I'm not waiting for anything anymore. Most people wait, sometimes even looking up in the air, to see if somehow something will come from above. It has already come, and we have not seen it. The Lord says, what do you want me to do to you? And the Spirit of the Lord God rests upon us all. This we believe. There is such a loveliness of the Lord here this afternoon. And the power of the Holy Spirit is mightily upon us. Whatever anyone asks from the Lord, he shall receive today. This afternoon, it shall be revealed that God stands by his word. Who was it? I think Gideon in the Old Testament. The people always said, God is with you, God is with you. He says, what? If God is with us, where are all his miracles that our fathers told us about? It is always said, God is here and there. He said, where then are all his miracles that our fathers told us about? We can say the same thing here today. We believe that God is here, and God is a God who does miracles. There are people here with broken hearts. There are people here who want to experience God. If I would now ask, how many want to experience God in some way? Then many hands would go up. And it can even happen that we pray together and that the Lord touches us all. Because there is a scripture, God sent his word and made them well. You know, if the word of God has accomplished in all of us what God sent it to do, then we don't need to lay hands on. For then it is already done between you and the Lord, whose word has come into your heart. Then we can still lay on hands for all those who are perhaps not yet so strong in the faith to penetrate by themselves. We also want to pray for all who want to be baptized. You all know, at this place, we have no way to test people and say, you can be baptized and you cannot. But we want, as much as it is possible, that people get baptized whose lives are put in order with God, who have understood what it is all about, who have gone through repentance. But then there are people who are afflicted by some power of darkness, and they cannot free themselves. It is like a person being bound here with chains so that he cannot move his hands. You can tell him 100 times, untie yourself. He can do what he wants. He is bound. But here we read in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord God rests upon me to tell the captives that they are set free and to tell those who are bound that they are loosed by the grace of God through Calvary. And this is what we want to do today. But in order to do that, it is necessary for people to recognize it. We can't convince anyone of it. It's written in the Bible. If, for instance, someone was possessed, who was it? That one father, he brought his son to the disciples and says, this boy, he falls into the fire and then in the water and so forth. And they could not heal him. And then the Lord says, how long shall I bear with you? And he commanded, and from that hour this boy was set free. The evil spirit left him. But we must never embellish things. I know, when you speak about an evil spirit, then people feel offended in some way. I don't know why. It's not a person's fault. It's a thing, an influence, that we have been exposed to and that has come upon us. And sometimes, even in families, there's witchcraft and fortune-telling and card reading and so many devilish things. And then later, you don't have to be surprised when the enemy then pulls them back again and they can't go forward. Didn't you read in the book of Acts that they brought all the magic books together and burned them all? That was a full gospel. And it must be like that again. It is not acceptable that people plague and afflict themselves. Here in the Church of the Living God, the victory of the Most High should be revealed. But people must say, brothers, pray for me. The enemy has his hands in this. We want that his game is put to a stop. We want to be set free. But who has the openness in this time? Most people, of course, they want to cover up the dealings with the enemy. They want to play down and decorate it with a Christian mantle. And as long as we cover things up, the devil feels comfortable and warm. Then he thinks he doesn't feel bad at all. But the moment we confess it and say, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I scream it out of me because I want to be free of all these enemy powers. Here I am, my God, help me by your grace. And you will see what happens. This is very often the trouble among the believers, that one doesn't realize how the enemy controls things here and there and has his hands in it. God wants to give us an hour of deliverance this afternoon, after spirit, soul, and body. I don't know how it is to happen. I only know that it has to happen. I will not let anyone go here today unless God reveals his power on all of us. I was deeply saddened these days. I said, my God, your people come from near and far. I don't know what to say. Believe me, I just picked out this morning this sermon without knowing what was going to be on it. And it was like tailored to this day and to this meeting. And we see in what wonderful way the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, leads and directs everything. How many would like to experience God this afternoon? Let me see your hands. Thank you. Who would like us to pray for people who are in bondage, who want to be set free? Who's here? Yes, sir. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That you realize that there is something in your life that is not in order. You realize that the enemy has his hands in it and you want to become a temple of the living God. where the Holy Spirit dwells and rules. When such people are here, we would like to pray for you first.